Our scripture reading this morning is taken from John 13, verses 1 through 17. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said, "Not every one was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. It is important to take care of your feet. People that don't trim their nails adequately get ingrown toenails. And I know that that is a very awful thing to have and to have treated. Some people I know have to get a file to file down the calluses of their feet, you know, lest they develop other problems. These are the things of our day, probably based on the kind of shoes that we wear, but maybe they were also issues way back in Jesus' day. But in Jesus' day, the thing that happened mostly to feet, the number one activity that focused on feet was washing them. They didn't have paved roads very much. There were some stone, cobblestone roads that the Romans had laid down here and there, but for the most part, roads were country roads, dirt roads, gravel roads, like maybe we have out in the country. And people would walk, and naturally, wearing sandals, as was the thing to do, their feet would get dirty. When you entered someone's home, it was etiquette, normal behavior, that the owner of the house would see to it that your feet would be washed. They'd sit you down and they'd get a basin of water and they would wash your feet so that you could come in clean. Normally, this was a servant's job. You know, you got a kid that helps you around the house. You got a maid that maybe makes the meals and serves you in different ways. And that would be the person whose calling it would be, whose task it was to wash the feet of the visitors, of the guests. This was a non-glamorous job. It wasn't the kind of job that people clamored for. It was unskilled labor, a menial task, what the most lowest rung member of this household would perform. Now, in this story that Yelly read for us from John chapter 13, there is a problem. The problem was that Jesus and his disciples had rented a room in which to have the Passover, what became known as the Last Supper. So they went up there, and there was a room that had a table and had a seating area, surely. But it did not come with servants. There wasn't a staff, it seemed, that accompanied the rental of the room and who would do the job of washing the dirty feet. So there they come in, Jesus and his disciples, into this room with their dirty feet. And the question was, who is going to step up to be the one who would wash the feet of the others? Who was going to say, in effect, I recognize myself among our band of disciples, that I am indeed the least important, that I am the lowest class of all of us. So it would be my job to take a basin and to kneel before the rest of you and wash your feet. And what happened was no one was willing to do that. No one was going to downgrade themselves, embarrass themselves, mark themselves as the least of all of them. So they went in the room and they sat down and they started having supper with their dirty, stained, maybe even stinky feet. Jesus let this go on for quite a while. He let the meal get started and conversation was happening. And while they were eating and drinking, something happened. Jesus, who knew, of course, he knew exactly who he was. He was the Son of God the Father. He was the one entrusted with power and glory, about to return to God the Father in victory. He knew himself to be who he was. And he then did something remarkable. He who, by any definition, by any way of looking at it, was certainly the most powerful, the most significant, the most tall of all of them, left his place at the table, took off his dinner jacket, loosened his tie. Well, he didn't wear tie, but took off his outer clothing, picked up a towel, wrapped it around his waist like a servant would do, filled a basin of water, and one by one went around the circle, went around the table, washing his disciples' feet. Can you imagine? You put yourself in the position of one of the disciples. You know, everybody knew that the feet weren't washed, and everybody knew that no one was willing to take that lowest, most humble position. No one was willing to acknowledge the fact that they were not the least or most important. And then Jesus goes and does what they had refused to do. It obviously made them uncomfortable. There's no way it could not have made them uncomfortable to do that. It would make us uncomfortable to have the boss, the Lord, the senior one, to serve us like that. And the reason is, we know how the world works. There is a hierarchy in life and in work. That there are people who are senior to we who are junior. There are people who are on top, and there are those of us that are on the lower rungs. We know that when you start a new job, you start at the bottom, and then you work your way up by putting in your time, by growing in expertise and experience, and you climb up so that you in time become one who has people lower than you. It's the way of the world. Start at the bottom, climb to the top, and as you climb higher and higher, there are more people who are serving you, who are under you, who are answerable to you. That's the way of the world. But Jesus shows that in the kingdom of God, everything gets flipped around. He says things like, the first are going to be last, and the last will be first. The rich, they will be poor, and the poor will become rich. The lame are going to leap. The blind are going to see. The poor are going to be enriched. The prisoner is going to be set free. It is backwards. And the master will serve, and the least will be served by all. In our society, this is how it works. You have the next slide, Anita? The boss is on the top, and the boss, there are managers who report to the boss, and there are foremen who report to the managers, and then there's the workers underneath. This is normal. This is a typical way that authority in a company, in a factory, would be organized. But in God's kingdom, it's different. It is inverted. We say, you know, the Lord our God, he has put himself on the bottom. And then in the church, well, then there are church leaders, elders and deacons and leaders of our ministry teams and people that provide leadership to the ministries. Well, they're next. And then there's us regular members that are then. And then there's people even in the community. And what Scripture tells us is that the people at the bottom are the servants of those who are above them, and they have a responsibility towards those that are above. Jesus, it is said, did not come to be served, but he came to serve, indeed, to give himself as a sacrifice for all. Jesus came to be the servant, and he is called the blessed servant, the great servant, the suffering servant indeed. And then the Spirit calls people in the church to positions of leadership, not so that we who are leaders can lord it over the people in the church that aren't. We are called to be leaders so that we can serve the body. And we say, we are not in this for glory. We aren't called to puff up ourselves. We are put in this place so that we can lift you up, so we can elevate you before God and serve you by helping you to know the word, to know what it means to be a follower of Christ. And then members, regular old church members, say, I'm not a leader, I'm a member. Well, you receive the service of God. You receive the service of the leaders of the church so that you can be a servant to the community. So that as you live out your life in your job, in your school, in your community, in whatever place that God calls you, you are there so that you can be a servant to the community, revealing Christ to them, blessing them by in ways great and small, to lead them to truth, to let them find the hope that indeed will sustain them. It is a glorious thing to be a servant leader of the church. It is a glorious thing to be a member of the body, receiving the service and being a servant yourself. And it's our prayer that people that are outside the church, that don't know the Lord, through the service we offer them, that they will join us in the church. And that they too can start lifting up others in the name of Christ. That they too can start revealing the gospel and the kingdom, giving hope and love and joy and peace and all those other wonderful fruits of the Spirit. And then maybe after joining church that they will say, I can be a leader of this place. I can find my place in leadership. And then I too can start not only lifting up the community, I can start lifting up the members. So I can bless them. And as we do, we are imitating God, our Lord Jesus Christ, who showed himself to be the great leader, the great servant of the church. Now, there are a couple of fine details in our text that drive the point home. And I'd like to just look at them with you. Consider Peter. In the story that Yeldi read to us from John chapter 13. Peter, the disciple. Jesus came to wash his feet, and Peter said, no, don't you dare. I'm not going to let you, because it's inappropriate for you to wash my feet. It makes me uncomfortable, and it's just wrong. And then Jesus says, of course, well, if you want to be my disciple, you have to let me do this. You must let me wash your feet. And then Peter says, well, then do the whole thing, right? Wash my hair. You scrub my back. Wash my whole body. Well, what's going on with this? This is kind of a curious little episode in the story. We need to understand that in that culture, as in ours, that there is a pecking order, right? There is a normal hierarchy of positions. And as the disciples understood it, Jesus was the rabbi, he was the teacher, the master, he was at the top. And the disciples were under him, but among the disciples there was a hierarchy, and Peter was the first among the disciples. The rest of them were probably teenagers. Like we forget how young these disciples were. Except for Peter, we know, who was a married man, and he was significantly older than the rest of the disciples. So, age mattered. A fully grown adult married man had more status than a teenager did. That's just the way of the world. And he was their spokesman, the natural leader. But if you look carefully at the story, what you see is that Jesus did not go first to Peter to wash his feet. That Jesus had come along, he had washed maybe a couple of others, who we don't know how many, but certainly he had washed others' feet, and then he comes to Peter. Which Peter would have felt to be an insult. Oh, if you're going to wash everybody's feet, Jesus, and it's kind of weird that you do, but if you do, then you've got to start with me because I am number one in this hierarchy of disciples. and then trying to reinstitute his dominance within the disciples. He said, okay, you're just doing their feet, but to prove that I am indeed first among my brothers, you got to do me more. You got to do me better. Put me back at the head. And to that, Jesus said, no, I'm not going to do that, Peter. You have to take what I offer. You have to stand with your brothers. You should not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Stop striving for dominance and prominence and start striving for humility. That was the message to Peter in this text. Don't strive for prominence. Strive for servanthood. It's an important thing to remember. The second thing that I wanted to show in this text is that, you remember, Jesus stood up halfway through this meal, and he took off his coat and tie, put on the towel, he went to person, washing their feet, drying their feet with a towel that was wrapped around his waist. And he did go eventually to Peter, and he went to James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, and he washed the feet of Nathanael and Thomas and Simon the Zealot and Philip and Matthew and Jude and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Andrew. He washed all their feet. And he washed the feet of Judas Iscariot. That Jesus got on his knees before Judas and took his feet, and he bathed the feet of Judas, the one who betrayed him, the one whom he knew already had betrayed him. And he took the betrayer's nasty old dirty feet, and he blessed them with his service. The feet of the enemy, he served them. Does that mean something? You bet it does. If we are going to be spiritually fit, if we together are going to be strong in our faith and in our life and in our ministry, we, like our Lord, are called to service. Every single one of us. There are those of us here who have achieved great things in business, in life, in academia, in all different kinds of sectors, there are some of us who we can say we have been a success. Well, to all of you successful people, you are a servant. You who are just starting out, people, we who feel ourselves to be small and weak and insignificant to just about everybody, we who have been told in ways explicit or in ways subtle that we don't matter, you are a person who is to be honored by the service that we can bring. We will kneel before you and honor you with our service. And we will invite you to join us on our knees. We'll invite you to be a servant also to others who feel themselves to be small, to those who feel themselves to be great. All of us are called to get on our knees in front of each other and be of service. The meek and the mighty must receive service and bring service. Should we refuse the service of others? We feel we're too fancy, we're too important, we're too established, too whatever, to receive the service of the church and of our brothers and sisters, no matter how great or low, then we are distant from Jesus. If you refuse the service that the church brings in the name of the Lord, then you are far from Jesus. You will have nothing to do with me, Jesus said. Who are the people that we are to serve? We are to serve the people that we like. People in our small group. We are to serve the people who are our friends. The people we go camping with. The people we invite over to our house just because we like being together. Be a servant to them. Be with the people. Be the servant of the people who rub you the wrong way. Those people who oppose you and stand against the things that you say are important and feel to be important in life and in ministry, serve them. It's not easy. Do you think it was easy for Jesus to wash the feet of Judas Iscariot, his betrayer? Absolutely not. It was not easy. But it was right, and he did. And he says to us, do not hesitate to serve even those who maybe would call themselves your enemy. Is it easy to be a Christian? Is it easy to follow Christ? It is not. It is one of the hardest, and the most countercultural and counter how we feel. Because we say we want to hate our enemies. We want to ignore people who make us uncomfortable. Let us just focus on people in our group. And that's not the way of the Lord. So what does it mean to be spiritually fit? To be an obedient, well-toned, well-tuned disciple of Jesus? Well, we've talked about in previous weeks how it means being a person who listens to the word, who tries to understand what the message is, a person who lives a life of gratitude before God, who spends time in prayer and develops that relationship. But it's also a person who serves. If you desire to be fit spiritually, desire to be a servant. So consider your life. Who is it that you are serving? Think of that right now. Just think, who am I serving? Some of us would say, "Oh, I think I'm serving this." Some of us are saying, "I don't think I'm serving anybody. I really can't think of anybody that I could say that I'm serving in any kind of meaningful way." Well, if that's you, you say, "I'm not a servant," then you've got to start. Look around. Open your eyes and open your heart to the needs of your brothers and sisters and say, "I will be a servant for you." And take that awkward, unnatural step of actually being a blessing to others. Maybe you need to consider, who am I not serving? Who do I go out of my way to avoid serving? You say, "Well, not that guy, and not her, not them, not that family, not that group, not whatever exclusion we put together." If you say that, and if you feel that, if you say those people, they can stay dirty. They're just too much for me. I just don't want anything to do with them. Let them hast they with their dirty, stinking feet. Let them be unwashed and unloved and abandoned by me. Well, then, it's time for a reorientation of your heart. And it's time for you to pick up a towel and a basin and to go to those that you will not bless and make it your priority to bless them. Because that is when you really start imitating Christ. That is really when you reveal yourself to be an obedient disciple. And that is our calling. Let us, brothers and sisters, let us take good care of each other. Let's take good care of our friends, and let's take good care of our enemies. Let's follow Jesus and be remarkable for our humility, notable for our service and love for others, and in all of this, let us give glory to God. Can I hear an amen? Father in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to be Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you for his ministry, for his life, for his teaching. Thank you that he showed us the way to be at peace with you, to be obedient in our lives before you. We need your help. To be the kind of servants that you want us to be, it is beyond us. But it's not beyond you. And as you come into us and fill us and empower us, we even dare to dream that we will find the way to be the true servants of God. So thank you for hearing our prayer, for blessing us, and indeed helping us. Amen.